Hey, y'all. Welcome to Latte and Laundry. I'm Suzanne Bilodeau, and I am so honored to be with you here as we navigate motherhood, wifehood, sisterhood, and everything in between. This is a podcast for my fellow imperfect people who want to grow in greater communion with our most perfect God. So join me and my friends as we laugh, cry, dive deep, and explore with one another as we journey towards stilling our souls while moving our world. Friends, I hope you're all having a blessed, beautiful day. It was actually warm here in Connecticut today. It's end of April and it reached like 80 degrees. And it's been wild because we've had a lot of like waking up and it's 30 degrees in the morning and just really frigid for pretty late April days. So today was one of those hot days and my kids were hilarious because we went to the playground and they were dying, sweating, saying this was intolerable for them today. And they're like, get me out of here, Mom. Can we go home? There's a little bit more shade in our yard than the playground and a little bit better breeze. So they were outside of the house, but I was just dying being like, wow, it's not even that hot. My kids already, their heat tolerance is pretty low. I'm like, look out, summer. This is going to be quite the ride with my kids. But anyways, I'm just excited to be here with you guys. I've had some stuff. I'm sitting here in my parked car, to be honest with you guys, sitting in front of a beautiful view of the ocean. I'm sitting at the beach here in my parked car, waiting for my son to be done with his Tang Soo lesson. And I've just had some stuff that's been swirling around on my heart that I just wanted to get on here and chat with you guys. And it's funny because probably I would say 90% of all of the podcasts I have on here are places that the Lord has been touching in my own heart, things I've been reflecting on or struggling with, or the Lord's just opening my eyes to. And it just has me like praying, reflecting, and researching and all these things. And then it just gets me excited to talk about it with you guys. So this is where I'm at. Something that I've been like really, my husband and I had a away weekend this weekend in Newport, Rhode Island. Because of the graciousness of my sister-in-law who took the six kids so we can have a night away. And it's just something that him and I were talking about as we walked the cliffs. I don't know if any of my listeners have been to Newport, Rhode Island before, but it's one of my all-time favorite places. It's only a couple hours from our house and it's just beautiful. And we were walking the cliffs and having some really deep conversations. And it just got us talking about this idea that I want to chat with you guys about further today. But before I do that, I want to kick us off with our opening Bible verse, which is Philippians 2:14, that says, do all things without grumbling or questioning. So today I really just want to dive into this and like lean into and inviting you guys alongside me, because it's something that I definitely struggle with, which is just this invitation to eliminate the grumbling in our service. My husband and I talked about it a little bit more in a different terminology when we were walking, and now we tease each other already. Don't be a victim of your service. Don't be a victim of the service that you do for another. I think it's so easy because we want people to know where our hearts are at. And a lot of times we struggle with doing things, right? Whether it's just like tending to our kids or helping a neighbor or assisting a coworker. We just struggle with a lot of the stuff that God has presented us throughout the day. But one thing that has become more abundantly clear to me as I've been praying and reflecting on all of this is that we're not meant to be victims of the service that we provide, right? And so I really was like praying about this and thinking through it and all this stuff. And it just got me really reflecting on this idea, especially for my heart, to really rid myself of my grumbling and complaining. In fact, I have attempted during Lent to give up complaining. My friends, I have failed utterly every time. I have to be really honest and vulnerable with you guys here. This is an area I struggle. I was raised in such a way that I constantly heard the complaints about any service that was ever done. But it's not who I want to be. And although I might not complain as much as I might have maybe like 15, 20 years ago, if someone threw my life in their laps of raising six kids and homeschooling and just a busy life of being a woman, whether you have one, six, or no kids living in this world, there's so much that's thrown at us every single day that we have often very good reasons to grumble and complain about. And yet that is not who God is calling us to be. And there's a couple of reasons. First, through our grumbling and our complaining about the service that we do for another, we lose merit in the work that we do. And Saint Benedict tells us this, right? Saint Benedict is one of my all-time favorite saints that me and my kids learned about when we dove in deep. We started this thing years ago when we started homeschooling where we would dive in deep to one saint at a time. And when we started doing this, Saint Benedict was our first go-to guy. And so I have a real soft spot in my heart for Benedict. And he has this quote where he says that he's just reflecting and talking about complaining in our service. And he says that even though he's referring to somebody who's doing work, and he says, even though he carries out the order, his action will not be accepted with favor by God, who sees that he is grumbling in his heart. He will have no reward for service of this kind. And I was like, woof. And I'm like, man, even if I don't grumble out loud, Lord, I am grumbling in my heart a lot. And God knows our frailty. He knows our weakness. He knows our human fleshiness, that like we're just, quite frankly, sometimes I'm just physically exhausted and tired. I've been doing this mama thing with babies for 15 years now, and I'm exhausted. And he knows this, and he's tender, and he's good, and he's merciful. But he has called us to the service he has laid out in front of us. And that can be, my friends, a many things, right? Whether it's washing the dish or folding the laundry or changing that diaper, whether it's helping out that friend that needs you to pick up their kids from an activity, or baking that cake for the neighbor who is going through a hard time, or whatever it is, often God presents us with opportunities to serve. And a lot of times, to be honest, you guys, in motherhood, it doesn't look like opportunities. It looks like demands, right? So it's a lot harder to grumble when we don't feel that it is our will that is deciding to serve. And oftentimes when we're exhausted, it's just the demands that are thrust upon us morning, noon, and night. And it's really easy, and the enemy is so good at trapping the mama heart, to sit in a place of grumbling and complaining. But this is where God is so good, you guys. Because it is not for nothing that he calls us to service. It is not for nothing that he is asking us to love and to lay down our lives. In fact, our sanctification is quite literally God's aim in all that he allows, permits, or ordains, or refuses. It is all ordered for our good. Every single ounce of it. Even that kid who doesn't want to eat the five things that you've made them for lunch. Even though that child who throws a temper tantrum because their peanut butter sandwich is not cut just right, even the ones who are throwing meltdowns and temper tantrums in the grocery store, whatever it is, he orders all of that for our good. And that sounds wild. How could he want this screaming baby who, I promise you, I could love so much better? I always say this to my husband sometimes. I'm like, I could love each one of them so much better if they weren't all yelling or fighting or needing my attention at the same time, right? Or even if it's just that one child, I could love that one child better if they weren't throwing a fit. But you guys, this is the stretching and the pressing and the plucking that he is doing inside of us. And he knows us. And I always have to remind myself of that. He knows us better than we think we know ourselves. And it's that surrender and that allowing ourselves to lay down our lives in these acts of service without the grumbling and the complaining, as St. Paul talks about in that opening Bible verse, right? And there's this great quote from Trustful Surrender to Divine Providence by Father Jean-Baptiste and St. Claude de la... I'm not even going to pretend to pronounce it. However, this book is one of my go-to little books. Trustful Surrender to Divine Providence. It's very similar in an overall sense as the book study that I did last summer with my girlfriend, Jonna, Abandonment to Divine Providence. It's a similar thing, but it's a much smaller and concise to the point read that I think is just really beautiful. And there's this great quote in there that says, God is faithful, says the apostle, and will not permit you to be tempted or afflicted beyond your strength, but it is necessary for you to be so, since through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom, that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God in the steps of our Redeemer, who said of himself, did not the Christ have to suffer all of these things before entering into his own glory? So this is referencing St. Paul, like in 1 Corinthians. Now it says, if you refuse to accept these tribulations, you would be acting against your best interests. You are like a block of marble in the hands of the sculptor. The sculptor must chip. hue and smooth it to make it into a statue that is a work of art. God wishes to make us the living image of himself. All we need to think of is to keep still in his hands while he works on us. And we can rest assured that the chisel will never strike the slightest blow that is not needed for his purposes and our sanctification. For as St. Paul says, the will of God is your sanctification. You guys, everything that occurs in our day is part of the will of God, right? He allows it, even if it's a bad choice by another person that has greatly hurt you. His passive will has allowed it. And when we fight against it and we complain and we grumble, whether it is just like we're exhausted from being the person that takes charge in the PTA, or that we're shot from being the one that does most of the cleaning around the house, whatever it is that often can get the grumbling and the complaining within our spirits and in our souls going, God has allowed those things to take place. Not because he wants you to never feel pain, and not because he wants you to feel pain, but he knows us best. Like this amazing quote says, he will never let one slight blow of the chisel hit us that will that is not needed for his purposes and our sanctification. He knows his greatest desire is for our sanctification, for our pathway back to him. He desires nothing greater than to love and be loved by us for the eternity. And he knows, as crazy as it is, those minor interruptions that are actually invitations, or those fussy or whiny children, or those eye-rolling teenagers, or those the family dynamics of you and your in-laws, or your own family of origin that really rub you and are hard. He allows that for part of our as part of our sanctification. And when we could sit back and remember, right? And I talk about this all the time, but if we could sit back and remember, really rest our hearts on the fact that, and sometimes my heart needs to remember what my mind knows. Intellectually, I know God is the perfect Father. I know this. And yet my heart gets weary when I'm tired and I'm exhausted. And I forget that he is active and here, and he's ordaining every single thing for my good. And I often fight against it. And that's when it does not often work to bear its greatest fruits, is when I fight against what God has in store for me. But on top of just this idea that we lose merit in the work we do, it's actually also sinning when we grumble and complain, you guys. St. Francis de Sales, who's a doctor of the church, states, undoubtedly, a person who complains commits a sin by doing so. So not only do we lose any possible merit for the work that we do while complaining, we're probably sinning at the same time. And St. Augustine goes even further to say, oh, what a miserable, deadly plague, complaining. Oh, how poisonous. Guys, and there's so many reasons for this, right? It touches into different parts of our hearts that we have got to kind of be a governor over our thoughts. It can really, grumbling and complaining can build up the sin of pride. St. Francis de Sales warns against the wrong way of not complaining. He writes, many, when they are sick, afflicted, or offended by anyone, refrain from actually complaining, but they desire extremely and by diverse artifices contrive that others should sympathize with them, feel great compassion for them, and esteem them not only afflicted, but patient and courageous. In other words, while we might not complain, right? We might fight against the complaining, the grumbling about the burden. We may want others to see us not complaining, so to take every opportunity to call attention to our suffering. We want to appear to be like a martyr, right? Which is a form of pride. You guys, this is like, I just part of a book group that's awesome. And we were looking at the Screwtape Letters and diving into it. And it was just, it's always such a good reminder for me. I've read that book a number of times over the years. And it's always such a good reminder for me to get a little insight into C.S. Lewis's reflection of how the enemy works. Satan is on the prowl at all times. He will do whatever he can to turn any good into sin. So that idea of, I'm not going to complain, I'm not going to grumble, but I'm going to make it very apparent for people who see me how much I am under the burden of, that's still a place of sinful pride. There's this fine line of virtue and sin, and it's so easy for us to turn something that's beautiful and virtuous into something that's sinful, right? It's that idea of something as simple as wanting to do something in charity or service just to make yourself feel good rather than for the love of the other. This is how, what a fine line is carried. And this is not to put the pressure on everybody and make you anxious and worried and fearful of all the good and beautiful and lovely things that you do, that they're just places of sin. But it's this reminder and this calling for us to be guardians of our thoughts and our hearts, to be aware and constantly prayerful. Like this whole podcast was inspired by, of sitting at the feet of Christ like Mary while we're doing all the things like Martha. Don't lose sight of being Mary while you're being Martha. And that will keep your eyes focused on Jesus, who will reveal. And my friends, I can't tell you how much he's revealed to me in the last few weeks, to be honest, just about the wayward way of my heart. And he's so good and gracious. And if you have this sense of God as this shameful, authoritative, thank you, God, then I just invite you to spend some time with the Lord and reflect and pray on his graciousness and his gentleness. Because I promise you, when he reveals the wayward way of our hearts, he does not do it with a shameful disposition. He does it with a really gentle, tender, fatherly heart, who's just calling us to know the ways in which our hearts are turned, because when we do things with our hearts turned, that leaves a greater separation between us and God. And he desires nothing more than to have greater communion with us, where our will is conformed to his will. Right? And it's also, when we grumble and complain, it also tempts us to just live a life of ingratitude. Right? We might like do things like, well, why didn't this person clean this up while you're washing the dish? This kid should have been cleaning these dishes. Right? You guys, I am really struggling in this area where, I'll be honest, from 5 a.m. to 11 p.m., I don't stop. These quiet moments in the car waiting for a kid to finish up a sport are the quiet moments of my day. And I can get really exhausted and really frustrated when I don't see someone doing their part that I've been working on, this child or that child or whatever it is, for years. And it robs me from the gracious goodness of the beauty of my service and disdains, like disorders it. It darkens it. It blackens all that I am pouring out, right? We would never want our Lord, who we love so much, to be grumbling and complaining as he poured upon his graces upon us, or he tended to these needs in our heart, right? That totally, you know, it's like when we do things for our kids, if we're complaining, it not only does these things within our own hearts, but it affects those that we love around them. I think about it all the time where my girlfriend said to me, you know, when I decided I was going to do this and I don't like it, I'm just going to own it. It was like a part-time job she had. I'm just going to own it. And instead of going into it every day annoyed and complaining, I'm just going to own it. I chose to do this. I'm doing this and I'm going to do it cheerfully. And that's easier said than done, to be honest, you guys. It's like my kids and their sport activities. I can get really exhausted with the run around with all the children. And then I reflect and I stop and I go, I chose to do this. We signed up for this. It bears no fruit for me in my own heart and my wayward ways. And it definitely bears no fruit in the child who feels like nothing but a burden because mom's complaining about having to drive them to this or that. And though I often don't ever complain about it in front of them, they can also sense that energy for me, right? And so there's just this calling, and I'm just feeling God inviting me to really work on this thing that I know I have needed to work on for years. And it's just been a really slow progression, right? And St. Francis just gives some good advice of how to really strip ourselves and eliminate the grumbling from our hearts. But one of the first things he points out is that we should never complain to those that will lead us to evil. And you know this, you guys, whether it's you're complaining about this or that with your kid or complaining about the work you have to do, you must not throw your pearls to swine. Do not complain to those that will take you further away from the Lord and further from the gift of your service for the love of others, right? He says, So he says, above all, do not complain to such persons as are prone to wax indignant and to think evil. He says, they will not ease our trouble, but provoke it further. He says, instead of removing the thorn, which is prickling you, they will drive it deeper into your foot. Instead, he advises that we should complain instead to such persons as are peaceable and who love God, right? The next piece of advice is that we should know that this pain, this sanctification, this service, the hard parts of it is a beautiful part of the life of grace. He references John 16:21 when he says, when a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she is delivered of the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a child is born into the world. So quite frankly, I read this quote that said that as Christians, we have conceived Christ in our soul and we are now laboring to deliver him. We can expect this to involve many pains, but we will know unending joy on the great day when Christ has been fully formed in our hearts. You guys, we are quite literally delivering Christ. And if you're a mama, you know that is your first job to be the flesh, the tender, receiving flesh that delivers Christ to your child, right? We have conceived him in us, and it is now time to deliver him to those in whom we are serving, our children, our spouses, and all those that we encounter. And I'm really, really, really going to continue to pray and reflect on this not complaining thing and keep calling out to my husband, don't be a victim of your service. Like we just said this to each other this afternoon, don't be a victim of your service, with a wink in our eyes at each other of just some of the stuff that we're struggling with and we're finding ourselves complaining. So find that accountability partner, that person that you might be able to, like, you know, we are human and often God can handle our complaining, right? Like he can handle if we come to him, we're like, God, this was hard. Like he wants to know the depths of our hearts. But when we built up with ingratitude and resentment and just wayward way of our hearts that nothing is bearing fruit in the service that we are doing, that is not his desire. His desire is that we come to him and also find that person. Like I can with my husband with that wink of, don't be a victim of your service. Find that person that can help keep you accountable when you're complaining and you're whining, who doesn't judge you or shame you because they're in it too, but that will point your heart back to God, right? Because that's ultimately what we need with those sisterly relationships, those sisterhoods that ultimately want our good, as St. Francis was talking about. Don't complain to those that will turn us and provoke us to evil, who will just back you up and be like, yeah, you shouldn't have to do that, and riling you up even more, but rather those that can hear your heart, receive the great suffering that you're enduring and just the hardships that you're encountering, but then also encourage you on the way of love, the way of laying down your life for another. And St. Bernadette says, I must die to myself continually and accept trials without complaining. St. Macarius warns, watch out for complaining. It only makes situations worse and increases sorrow. And this is what I know, my friends. Like I can intellectually know this and still find myself complaining. There's so much freedom and joy that comes when you accept. It's that whole surrender. It's our entire podcast series last summer. It's that surrender that bears so much peace within ourselves and often within a lot of the relationships that we are surrounded with. And lastly, I just want to close up with 1 Peter 4:9. Which says, be hospitable to one another without complaining. Okay, my friends, this as always has been a blessed time. I'm just going to like hang up this podcast now, hang up with you guys and just sit and gaze at the beauty of this beach on this beautiful day as I have a few more minutes before my son's Tang Soo Do is over. I thank you for being here. I am just blessed by it. I have been praying. I have gotten so many emails from you guys and I'm just so grateful about book suggestions for this summer. And I think I know what I might be doing, even though I've gotten so many. I think I'm narrowing it down to a couple and I'm just going to continue to pray about it for the next week or two. And I will let you guys know as soon as I know what book study I'm going to be doing and whether or not somebody will be joining me to do that with me this summer. That's what I've done for the last few summers. I've had a friend do the book study series with me. I'm also wildly and incredibly grateful continuously for the emails that I get that just like really blesses my heart to see how the Lord is moving in your hearts. And I'm so grateful that he has used just like little old hot mess me to even be just like the slightest, smallest, like a grain of sand part of that that can help turn your hearts towards him. Like, that gives me legit goosebumps, you guys. And for those that have left podcast reviews on Apple, thank you so much. I'm so grateful for that, especially because I'm going to probably be teasing out this project for quite some time. Okay, not really that long a time, but I'm just dying to share with you all, and I'll be teasing it out probably for a little while. I can't quite give out any of the details yet, but I am allowed to tell you all that I am working on an awesome project with Ascension, and I'm so excited about it. I'm just wildly excited about it because it is definitely a project that is near and dear to my heart. And the more reviews and sharing of this podcast we do, just the greater opportunity we'll have that this project, which I think is going to be awesome. I was going to say something I should say the podcast, but it's going to be awesome. And I'm just like so excited for it to get into the hearts and the hands of mamas. So thank you for all those who have left podcasts. If you have not done so yet and you have been blessed by this episode or any of the episodes, I'd be so incredibly humbled and honored if you'd leave a review or a rating or share the podcast with a friend. Yeah. And I'm just like so delighted. Can you guys hear those seagulls? Sorry. They're like legit right now, and I'm loving every minute of this. But I'm just so grateful to have this time with you guys and to have just to know that the Lord is blessing you and moving in your hearts and drawing you closer to him. That's like my greatest delight here at Latte and Laundry and the whole kind of like mission of this silly little podcast that we've been all journeying alongside each other in. So let me close us in prayer. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus, I just want to thank you and praise you for your unending service. You came as an itty bitty baby. You entered the family in the flesh and then spent the next 33 years laying down your life until the ultimate gift of love with your arms stretched out on a cross. Thank you for desiring nothing more than to spend eternity with us forever in paradise with you. I praise you and I thank you for the tender gift of your graciousness. And I pray that each and every one of us here, myself in particular, can really enter into each moment that we encounter with a renewed sense of surrender and acceptance, so that when we see invitations that have often been seen as interruptions, or we're called to serve in different ways, that we respond knowing that it is you calling, and it is you asking us to serve, knowing that this is all under your perfectly ordained plans for our good. I ask you to pour upon graces upon my friends here so that as we enter our week, as we find ourselves pushed up against the hardships of our days and our week, that we will know we are not alone, but that instead you are there beside us, calling us to sit at your feet while we move and shake and do the things in this world, and that you allow us and call us and remind us to trust in your goodness when things become really hard and we find ourselves filled with the temptation to grumble or complain. I praise you and I thank you for your goodness and never-ending love of us, even our messy ways. And when we do grumble and complain, pour out your mercies upon us and call us back to your most perfect sacred heart. In Jesus' name, amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Okay, my lovely friends, this has been a delight as always. Have a blessed week. Bye, y'all.